1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We got a great show today, like a really great show.
Yeah, we do. And I want to encourage more people to come because we have so much fun in between shows. Like, you have no idea what kind of fun goes on behind camera. So come on, reach out to us. Young adults at thequestatlanta.com if you want to be on the show.
You're the pro. You're the pro promotional producer.
I'm something. I'm a button pusher for sure, but I don't know about a pro.
Hey, well, I see what you did there.
Thank you.
You'll notice that my paper keeps flying up, and that's because this episode of Honest to God is filming live on the sky viewing thing on the Grand Canyon, you know, with a glass at the bottom.
Yeah, I've been on that.
Have you really? Yeah. You're on it?
I'm on it right now.
Yeah. But this time I'm not terrified for some reason.
Yeah, well, we moved the studio out, but the floor is still glass, so we'll angle a camera down there later. But only if you like and subscribe and share it with 10 friends who then do the same thing in a pyramid scheme until all the world is subscribed to Honest to God. Then we'll show you the floor.
Right. But he is obviously kidding, because we did have to do the Running Man because of a comment that you made, which was great. Yeah, make sure you check it out. I'll put a link to the video down below.
The entire world subscribes. We'll show them the floor.
The entire
world. That's a really low bar for us. I think we should stick with that one.
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah, check out the Running Man dance that John Henry and I did together. We've got a link down in the show notes.
It's pretty great. We got Michael on. Michael's in the house. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, he's new. He's green. Never been on the show before. It's exciting stuff. And then we got Alicia, who basically just runs the thing.
It's a pro. You know.
Yeah, she's killing it. Even how many times have you been on?
I think this will be 5 or 6.
Great.
Professional.
Yeah, you're in it. We got a light panel today. That's it. That's the end. We got producer Julian tickling keys,
pushing
taking names.
Buttons, yeah.
Yeah.
Ready to rock and roll, but not actually rock and roll, because this is not a music episode as the last one.
We did
was.
One recently.
We did, yeah. Check it out.
Last week I was wearing the same jacket. It's my favorite jacket.
Yeah, we filmed it last week, but I'm not sure if it was released last week or not because of our release
schedule.
Well,
then it wouldn't have been filmed, because every episode of Honest to God is live here on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio, or wherever you're listening to us.
That's right.
We should stop talking to each other. We should talk to our guests now. So before we get started, today is the feast of Saints Thomas Aquinas and Saint John Bosco, two of mine. I'm not just saying this because it's the day the show is airing. I'm dead serious. Two of my absolute favorite saints. I've got a lot of things I want to get to on them. And then, I don't know, we're going to kind of just see where the road takes us at that point. But before we do that, y'all all owe us fun facts. You owe us normally one, but we're going to bump up to two because it's been a long time since you've been on, so you've earned one back. And we're going to. And then you owe us, is Michael giving us two or three?
Two. You know what? We got a small show. Let's do three. If you've got three ready.
Yeah.
If you don't, then we can do two.
But before that, we're going to open in prayer. One of you guys want to volunteer to lead us in prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. We thank you especially for the gift of your saints, for the witness that they are. And Lord, open our hearts to be to follow in their footsteps, so that we may speak and live your love and your truth to the world. And Lord, we offer all that we are, all that we hope to be, and all that we have been to the glory of your name, as we pray, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was really good. I'm not allowed to grade prayers anymore on air, but if I were to grade that one, I would give it a 90. Well, rote prayer, girl bonus. I have to do the math real quick.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, like 92.5, okay. Which would round up to 93.
I accept that.
No, you don't have anything to accept, because I didn't grade it, because I'm not allowed to do that on air anymore. So,
but if you were, I would
accept
it.
If I were,
yeah.
Which I'm not,
absolutely.
I would, yeah. I'd give you that. All right, so I'm really excited, and I'm going to actually try hard today, once we actually get into the content, to not monopolize it, but I do have a lot of things to say about these guys and a lot of thoughts on it. But before we do that, we have to do fun facts. So you have three, Michael.
Three fun facts.
Welcome to the show.
All right. I'm going to start off a little basic. First one, I taught myself to play guitar about a year ago. Something I enjoy doing. Second one, I work at a golf course just for the free golf, because I thought it'd be fun and I enjoy it. And the third one's more of a little story. For about a week of my life, I thought I had a really rare cancer, a skin cancer, and I thought I would die.
Wait, like you were told by doctors that you did?
Yeah, I had a bump on my face and went to the dermatologist to get it checked out. And they said it'd take 2 weeks for results to come back. 2 weeks went by. We called them. They said, we don't know what it is. So they sent it off to some other specialists. And then another week later, after they said they don't know what it is, they finally called me back and said it's nothing to worry about.
Oh,
and got removed. So for about a week, me and my family was worried that I had some sort of rare condition or something. But thankfully, it was nothing. Got a little shot for it, and we're all good now.
So that is a fun fact.
Yeah.
Yes, skin
cancer. Funny looking
scares.
Back at it.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
Yeah, I told everyone I was going to start a GoFundMe page. Take me to Hawaii or something like that.
How old were you when that happened?
That was about a year ago, so I was 18.
Oh, so that just recently happened.
Yeah.
Very recently. My goodness, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
What about you, Alicia? What you got? Two.
First fun fact is I just bought a house about a year ago.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, first house.
Nice.
Homeowner.
Congratulations.
Weird,
we'll pray for you.
In what area?
I've not really had any issues, so I'm on the south side.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, down south of the airport.
Right.
But I have like over an acre. And
man, thanks for driving all the way out here.
You know,
Arizona's a long way from the Atlanta airport.
Yeah, but I love it out there. It's quiet. I can see the stars. I don't have to deal with like traffic noises. Like, I'm all about it.
That's the way to do it.
100%. One day I will have a farm and I will have a cow.
You got to do it. I'm telling you, it's a good life.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Second fun fact, I will soon be a godmother. So my best friend had a baby. Her name is Lillian May.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I'm gonna be a godmother.
Oh, congratulations!
So I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You gotta be a good one because I have five kids with different godparents, right? And I'm a godfather for a number of kids, mm-hmm. and it ranges wildly. Like I have one friend who's coming into town this weekend. He's the godfather of my 6-year old, and we only see him a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a barrage of text messages asking, like, what is she into right now? What is she like? What about this? Whatever. Because he, like, brings her a little gift basket every time.
Oh,
sends
cool.
her, like, a video message on her birthday and calls her and whatever. And then we have godparents who my kids literally have, like, they don't think they've ever met the person because they just went MIA right after.
Oh, yeah. No, I see Lily probably 3 to 4 times a week. Like, her mom is my best friend.
That's awesome.
So we see each other all the time. She jokes about us buying a duplex so she could just, you know, walk through.
That's
and
awesome.
Come see me.
I have no idea who my godparents are.
Oh, okay.
None. Zero. Yeah. I'm sure somebody does.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You got any godparent takes, Julian, before we move on?
My godparents are still in my life. They were my parents' best friends, and they still are. They still see each other, and they're incredible Italian folks that
nice.
Are from Pittsburgh area, but they live here now and they're really nice. Shout out to the Klopaks.
Yeah, big shout out.
Are still very active in my life.
The Klopaks and all Italian godparents, really.
And all Italian godparents, that's right, yeah. The godfather. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, the godfather!
That is nice to get to make that joke constantly when you like, I do that. I take advantage of being a godfather and making, nobody thinks it's funny but me, but those are the best jokes.
They are absolutely the best jokes. Yeah.
So, speaking of
Italians.
Yes. You got two saints to talk about today. Good job. That was really good. Today's the feast day of saints, John Bosco and Thomas Aquinas. And do y'all have any preliminary thoughts before I just start, like, just going off like a geyser about these guys?
Big fan.
Big fan? Good.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Excited to hear about them.
Cool. So I want to start talking about the easiest one to get into for me is probably St. John Bosco, right?
Because okay.
I work at a school called St. John Bosco, and he's the patron saint of the school for like obvious reasons, right? He's we're not a Salesian school. That's his order, St. John Bosco's order. But our school, the processes within the school were all built upon St. John Bosco's writings on how to do this. And if you don't know the story of St. John Bosco, super cool Italian guy, right after the Industrial Revolution, ruined everything cool. And the cities are filling up with all these rural people who are now, right, going to the cities for jobs to work in big manufacturing plants and things like that. And they're bringing their kids with them. And the streets were just rife with he calls them street urchins, right? Little urchins who are running around the street. Boys are getting involved in gangs and doing all these things. And so he makes it his mission in life to pull these boys out of this just poverty and relativistic, hedonistic lifestyles, right? And teach them to love Jesus and his church. And he's the coolest guy in the world. He does everything from teaching the kids how to juggle. He would do these like little shows of like juggling acts and magic tricks and stuff to get the boys to think he was neat and come over. And when I'm talking about boys being in gangs, I'm talking about like boys, like 8-9-year-old boys, little guys. And yeah, he has this whole philosophy of education that revolves around loving these young people even when they seem really unlovable. And as somebody who's worked in education for the past 15 years, like that, and a father of 5 kids, they act unlovable a lot. Yeah. And anyway, I just think he's the coolest guy in the world. Did you guys, Catholic school or public school or what?
Public school until I went to college. So then I went to Franciscan, and then I went to the JP2 Institute.
I'm sure we've had this conversation before. What year did you go to Franciscan? Were we there at the same time?
I doubt that. I graduated in 2009.
I graduated in 2010.
But you were at Southern Catholic through 2009.
Yeah, but my one semester was only a year after you, all right?
We were
Franciscan adjacent, all right?
Yes, exactly.
I remember you leaving, and I high-fived you. And
oh,
you
on
said,
the way out, yeah.
And you said,
as
now
I, like, turned my
turn.
Tassel, yeah.
Yeah.
Carry the torch.
Yeah.
Did that actually happen?
No. No. It was like a relay. She just handed me her backpack. Yep. I put it on my back walked right in.
I won the flag football championship. Now it's your turn.
Did you really win the flag football? My wife won our powder puff championship her senior year.
Flag football.
She caught an interception in the end zone and ran it back all the way.
I was the quarterback. Yeah.
Nice.
Your wife's class was undefeated.
Yeah.
In powder puff football.
Wow.
Because our class almost beat them. Our sophomore year, and they pulled some sort of miracle out of the hat because the
Angie,
rules were not followed
so
by
I
overtime. I was
team.
A coach, so it was a little frustrating. Yeah.
That's fun.
It is fun, yeah.
And I want to talk briefly about Thomas Aquinas, and I do have some follow-up questions for him, too. And the reason I love Thomas Aquinas is that he's about 45% of the reason that I'm Catholic. Thomas Aquinas is the man. He's my example that I always use when I'm talking to a kid who has some doubts about the faith or whatever, which is natural and good, right? Mm-hmm. To actually like struggle with that a little bit, have those difficulties and try to work those out. And I'm always telling kids, whatever you got, your best shot, because some monk from like 1200 BC, or not BC, AD, he wasn't a monk.
Man, he's old.
But will have already answered that question when you think you've got a gotcha for the church.
Yeah.
And I think that's neat.
Yeah.
So, big fan of Aquinas, too. We read a lot of Aquinas at Southern Catholic.
Yeah, we did.
Well, we were supposed to. I don't know how much I had.
One thing I have from Aquinas is I have the entire collection of Summa Theologia my shelf that my mom got me for as a graduation present. And I love it so much. And it's half in Latin. Like, it's the Latin and English.
That's cool.
Leather-bound, great
Mine's
set.
Mine's lame. Mine's just in English.
Oh. Well, hey. Is it a leather-bound set?
Yeah, it's a fancy schmancy. It's not leather-bound, but it's the Mortimer Adler Great Books. It's part of that set. So it's like the whole top row of one of my bookshelves is there's like 40-something books. And it's fantastic.
Every Catholic man should have one on their bookshelf at some point. If you don't yet, it's okay. You can go get one.
But there's still time.
There's still time. Yeah. Yep.
No, read the Summa. The Summa is so cool because it is... Well, it's apologetics to an extent. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with the Summa, it starts by saying giving objections, right? Mm-hmm. And then it leads into I answer that, and it goes to how he answers every objection, and he steelmans all the arguments against every like all these minute aspects of the faith. It's excellent. Are you a convert or are you born and raised Catholic?
I was born and raised Catholic in a big homeschool family. So
oh, cool.
I went to a few different like hybrid schools throughout my years, but. Last couple years of high school, just doing whatever at Chat Tech.
Why are you still Catholic?
It's definitely a personal choice now. I went through my rough phases, and then I started to question things more. Like you said, it's a good thing to question.
Totally.
And once I started questioning, I started trying to come up with my own gotchas. And then I'd look up the gotchas, and I was like, well, I was wrong on that one. I guess I got to stay Catholic
now. This guy died 1,700 years ago,
and
was making fun of what a stupid question this is that I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, he's definitely saying I want to look more into doing research.
Did you do like an apologetics deep dive at any point? Were you like,
no.
Oh.
My brother definitely would. And if I wanted to know, I could go ask him about it.
Yeah.
But he was big into Thomas Aquinas.
That's a beautiful thing about being Catholic is that at the end of the day, and this is going to sound arrogant, but it's true. The church is right about everything because the fullness of truth is found in the Catholic Church. And so you really can, like, dig and dig and dig, and you should dig. I always say at my, I don't know if it's the open house, it's sometime when I'm talking to a bunch of people every year at the school, I talk about how I would much rather you leave the school, graduate from the school as an atheist who is sincerely seeking truth, than a little Catholic automaton that just parrots the stuff that comes out of your teacher's mouths. Right? Now, obviously, the third option is better. I would like you to be a convicted Catholic who knows why you're Catholic. But the reason is, if you're that atheist who's sincerely seeking truth, you're going to come back around and be part of the Catholic Church. Right? That's how the truth works. So, it's neat. What about you from an apologetic standpoint? Did you ever have a...
We read Thomas Aquinas in grad school. But I must confess, Thomas Aquinas is very difficult for me to understand.
Sure.
So, although I read the words that were on the page, I can't say that I understood exactly what he was trying to get at. But I do appreciate, like, the method and the thought behind it, and just the fact that somebody had the perseverance to go that deep.
Right.
Because I think a lot of times, like, especially in the culture today, kids ask questions, but half the time it's, like, very superficial questions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so we've asked this question, let's go deeper. Where does this thought actually lead? And so there's, like, a logic behind what he does, and I think that's something that can really, like, help bolster the way that somebody thinks about something. So that's what I really appreciate about him.
Here's a take I have. I think, and I was this guy for a while, right, who was all about, like, let me intellectually dig into this, right? I was all logic and reason, and it eventually led me into the church because of guys like St. Thomas Aquinas. God bless them. It's super necessary. And it's also, like, not that important. It shouldn't be that important. And it is important. It's necessary in this time with the skeptical age that we live in. But I think it's almost way cooler for somebody to not be able to sit down and, like, argue about, like, the ontology of the divine triune, whatever. Like, that's great. Good for you, man. That's neat. But I always think it's cooler now to just say, like, no, I really, like, have this conviction in my heart, not in my mind, but, like, I really love Christ, and I know that he is present in the Eucharist, and I know that, right, these saints and these people went before, like, I'm really convicted, not because I read thousands of pages of really dense philosophy texts. They're super interesting. We need to have that as a backup for sure, because there's going to be people who that's going to speak to. But I almost think it's cooler to just do what Christ actually came here to do, which is convert your heart, not...
Well, spirituality, like, ebbs and flows. And so you're going to have different things that, like, speak to you at different moments. So, like, there's going to be periods of time where you're going to need that information. And then there's going to be periods of time where it's like, well, that doesn't really do it for me. But sitting before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, like, that's where he speaks to me. And that's another thing that I appreciate about Thomas Aquinas is, like, just, I think it was, like, at the end of his life, and you can correct me because I'm sure you know this better than I do. But the Lord speaks to Thomas, and he says, "You've written well of me, Thomas. What do you have?" And he says, "I'll have nothing but you, Lord."
Yeah.
And, like, knowledge is fantastic, but if you don't have love, it's absolutely meaningless.
I forget the exact quote, but it's something about it's all straw.
Yeah,
he says all straw. Some of the most, literally the most important works of Western civilization.
Right.
It's like, yeah,
it's straw.
Yeah. Look at you, God, right? And that's cool and humbling, and we need a lot more of that, I think.
Do you know if it was written in Latin? I actually don't know the answer to this. I'm curious.
Originally the Summa?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it was, too. I'm wondering if that's why it's so hard to understand, because the English messed up the language so bad that it's hard for us to even fathom what he was trying to say.
There's so many words in there that you never, ever come into, ever, unless you're studying dense theological material.
That's true, too.
Right? It's so frustrating. Like, I'm such a novice, right? I've read it, but I've never really deep dive. And I've sat around in circles with guys really getting into this, and the whole time it's just like, oh, you said, okay, I understood. It means that, and then you use, like, four words to describe a word that I don't know the meaning of that I've never heard before. So, yeah. But, still neat.
Yeah, it is. I just also blame the English for a lot of our problems.
Yeah, that's fair.
Easy to do.
If Henry VIII hadn't screwed up, you guys, have any of y'all gone to any of the Anglican ordinariate parishes?
Yes.
They're the best. If the Western trajectory had remained in the Anglosphere instead of Henry VIII having to kill all of his wives so that he could have a boy. It was really his fault that he only had the one. And anyway, if he hadn't screwed this whole thing up, liturgically, we would be rocking and rolling right now in the West. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Best way to describe it, it is the Latin Mass in Old English. Mm-hmm. It is super cool. They have a rail, and it's all theys and thous. It's very, very mysterious in ways. It's awesome.
Going back to Thomas Aquinas, you know, he's a scholastic scholar, right? And he's taking all of this Aristotelian philosophy, and that, just to kind of go back on what I said earlier and get more into the logic stuff, is so intriguing to me. This idea that we're taking, that the ancients, right, the great Greek philosophers, because we are human beings and we have intellect, right, which is what he says makes us human beings, right, an intellect, an intellectual soul, right, that allows us to understand abstract thought and all of these things and survive death. With zero revelation, the Greeks were able to come to all of these truths, and Thomas Aquinas is just pointing at them, saying, like, they get it. This is solid stuff. But you know what's way better than that? The fact that we have revelation now, and they jive together perfectly. And other faiths don't. I mean, even other denominations of Christianity, it always hurts me a little bit when you have denominations of Christianity that sort of reject the intellect at all, right? Because, I don't know, I think that's maybe spitting in the face of God is too harsh a language, but that's never made a lot of sense to me. Why would God give us these complex brains and the ability to understand this complex world that he created, and then be like, but don't use any of that. Don't you dare. Dinosaurs aren't real. So, sorry, my kid got a book one time about how dinosaurs... No, it's not that they weren't real. The book was from a great kid, great Christian family. We were in a homeschool co-op with, and the whole book was about how there were the Earth was 6,000 years old, and the dinosaurs were on the ark with Noah. And then after the flood, the dinosaurs all died because the plants were dead, and there wasn't enough oxygen producing in the world, so it killed the dinosaurs because they were big.
One of the hybrid schools I grew up going to, they taught that exact thing, and they said that it had been suppressed, this information that dinosaurs lived with.
Doesn't the Ark thing in Kentucky, the Ark experience in Kentucky, that I really want to go check out because it looks super cool, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They built like a true to size and measurements from the Bible Ark, but there's like a whole sections of it with like dinosaurs like hanging out because they were in the Ark too. Yeah.
Very weird.
You got any young Earth creationism hot takes there, Michael?
I saw one interesting documentary talking about how the Grand Canyon was not formed over millions of years. It was actually formed by the flood.
Oh.
And that's why all the different layers seem to have like similar structures to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how like even kids can see that like at a beach or something like that. Erosion doesn't happen like over time. Like if there's a big channel, it's from one big like amount of water rushing through at once. When the constant waves don't do that.
Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, I want to talk about this so hard.
I think it's definitely a real possibility.
Yes. Okay. Listen, I have questions. I mean this seriously. So, going back to what I was saying earlier about how we can be over intellectualized, I think people who take like solid anti-evolution standpoints or pro young Earth creationism standpoint are super interesting. And that's a really cool thing about being Catholic too, because doctrinally, you could be totally, there's no issue with you believing that. And there's no issue with me saying, I believe that's all purely evolutionary and that it's all, you know, geography and what I'm hearing at my local college is 100% correct, right? And neither of those are defined doctrinally, which means that we can talk about it all day long, and neither of us are going to be heretics. So please tell me more about young Earth creationism.
I don't know a whole lot about it as its own topic. But
can you strongman it? Can you give me steel man it? Can you give me some more like evidence that you've heard?
I'm not convinced that the world is millions of years old. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's probably more in the realm of like 6,000 years old.
Neat.
And that a lot of things that happened were from like the Great Flood again.
Tell me about dinosaurs.
I don't know about those.
Explain those dinosaurs, Michael.
I think Satan actually made them just to disprove evolution.
Do you really?
No.
Oh,
that's a joke.
Dang it,
from
Michael.
Somewhere. That's a joke.
I was going to ignore you, Alicia, for the rest of the interview.
You wanted to grill me on that one. Yeah.
I was going to take that off the wall behind you, just drape it over you, and then just face Michael.
I get it 100%.
What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I understand, but I feel like that oversimplifies it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like God is so complex with just like even just the idea of the Trinity, that to say that it's one thing and like one time it happened and all at once, just it doesn't make sense to me. So again, I'm not like super big into it, but like I'm not necessarily opposed to the Big Bang Theory. Like, yeah, God spoke and it happened. Mm-hmm. So,
well, then how do you jive that with Genesis, you science worshiper?
Wow.
Sorry.
I saw an explanation on that, actually.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So trajectory this episode's going.
Like lightning, which is followed by an explosion.
Thunder. Oh, okay.
Thunder, right. Or an explosion sound, thunder. Yeah. When God said, let there be light, that there was a bang sound that followed that light, because it is still a wave. It was still an energy source that came through. So that, in theory, could be the Big Bang. I'm not saying I believe anything. In fact, what I love about science is that there are only facts to support evidence, or evidence to support facts. There is no objective truths in science.
That's there's only scientific theories, right?
That's right.
Okay, this is 100% where we're going with this episode. I told y'all we were going to go all over the place with this thing, and I like this. I would argue, and once again, could be totally wrong, but I don't want to dance around. I mean, this is what I believe, right? That Genesis is purely allegorical. That it's both true and allegorical, right? Yeah. In the same way that we say the sun rises in the east. That's true. We all agree the sun rises in the east, but it doesn't actually rise in the east. The earth is spinning, causing it to look like the sun is rising. Yeah. And I would put Genesis in that category, right?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, Noah, Babel, all that stuff. I would love for somebody to be mad at me and tell me that that's not true and that they disagree. Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons?
What was that?
Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons?
I couldn't tell you.
Michael, no,
God
you've got,
had that.
I want you to defend
this. I
think
they were a part of his perfect image, so I think he did. I think they did have belly buttons.
But they didn't have parents.
But that
where did the belly button come from?
God was their parents, I think. Mm. I think the thing about this topic of how the earth was created is no one really knows in this day and age. It's something no one's going to really know until we get to heaven.
Sure.
We can ask God about it ourselves. So it's more of a fun topic just to think about and make theories about. Because I don't fully believe or disbelieve in any of the Big Bang theories or how old the earth is, because we can't really prove it. There's no way that we can have a solid proof that exists, like you were saying.
But that's less interesting than you saying, no, I'm a heretic, because I think that they totally had belly buttons.
Exactly. That's why it's fun to talk about how dinosaurs don't actually exist.
I mean, good thing.
Whether or not it's true, that's up to interpretation, and we'll figure that out one day, but...
Good theology is having your toes on the line of heresy and not crossing it.
Yeah.
So...
That's fair.
Get up to the line. Just don't go overboard.
When we come back, I want to talk about a quote by Father Mike Schmidt about theology or about doctrine. And he's got a great analogy for it. So we'll kick off with that in a second. But we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We had a really good break. It was fun. We were getting into some political stuff. And
some political stuff,
that.
Absolutely.
But
yes.
I don't want to stay in political stuff because that's over. The election ended. I got opinions.
Yep.
I'm not going to share them on air.
Yeah, we're here. But if you can, this topic is incredible, and we want more people to get involved. So comment down below. Trigger those algorithms so that we can reach more people. We can grow.
This
and
is
we
the
can
best show
grow
ever.
With you, our listeners.
The worst show ever, whatever you want to say.
That's right. And if you are driving in the car, please pull
Slam
over.
Slam it.
Before
Slam
you
on
comment.
Your brakes.
Yeah. Pull up the
Put
YouTube
it in the
app.
Park without fully engaging the brake in the highway. Like, subscribe. Comment.
That's right.
Yeah. Do it now.
Do it right now.
All right. Cool. All right. I want to talk about Adam and Eve some more. So while we were on break a minute ago, Michael said that he thought that belly buttons were a sign of the fall. Okay, he didn't actually say that. But
fake news.
I actually have a Adam and Eve thought. Because I've been asked before, because once again, I do believe in the theory of evolution. I believe in sort of our modern understanding of Big Bang Theory up through today, right? That's where people come from. And so I've been asked multiple times, how do you jive that with Adam and Eve? And like I said before the break, and once again, if you're just joining the show, I am not speaking doctrine. This is the opinions of a guy on the radio. But as a Catholic, I'm allowed to think, we're allowed to have different interpretations of these things. This is not a doctrinal thing. Father Mike gives a great thing on a great analogy for doctrine. He talks about, imagine an island with sheer cliff walls in the middle of the ocean and rocks. Have you heard this one?
Yeah. No, but I use a similar analogy.
It's flat and green at the top, right? If that's all there is, if there's no fence around that island, everyone's going to be huddled in the middle, terrified of falling off the side. The children aren't going to be allowed far from their mother, right? That's a very dangerous situation. If you build a fence along the side, a sturdy fence along the whole perimeter of the island, all of a sudden you can walk and you can play and you can explore and you can do all these things in safety, right? That is doctrine. That fence is doctrine, right? As long as you're within the confines of doctrine, you're not a heretic, which is really neat. So Michael can say, the earth is 6,000 years old, Adam and Eve, Genesis, Noah. This is all literal. These are literal stories. And be a Catholic in good standing and not a heretic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm
very proud of those opinions that are, I hold to be 100% true.
Yeah. and I can believe the opposite. I can say, no, evolutionary biology, that seems to make sense to me.
It's okay
complex
to be
organisms
wrong.
Developing, whatever. And also not be a heretic. So that's neat. So anyway, with that being said, my theory that is based on nothing other than my brain with Adam and Eve is that through the process of evolution, we arrived to these bodies, these physical bodies that we have right now. Adam and Eve were just the first of our species, right, to be given a soul, right? And it didn't say they were the last, right? Their children obviously have souls. But I like that theory, that idea, right? Because it makes sense for when Cain and Abel go out and marry and have their own children, right? There's not some incestuous circle that's happening. What's happening is there are other members of our species, of our phenotype, right, that are being given souls. And with those souls, right, according to Thomas Aquinas, come the ability for abstract thought and life beyond death and all of these things, our intellects, right? They're given intellectual souls as well. And as a result, the human race populates the world.
That's
I think that makes sense.
I agree. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
I would say so. I think I was the one that actually jokingly said that. sorry, I'm producing while also
trying to
speak.
Trying to speak.
Okay.
Microphone. Yeah, thanks.
We're okay. John Henry's feeling a tiny bit under the weather, but we're getting through it. Anyway, I was the one that said belly buttons are a sign of the fall, not because they are disordered in any sort of way. It is simply happenstance by the fact that the children of Adam and Eve came after the fall. So the belly buttons would have been okay, but it's just the fact that if you have a belly button, then you're in the fallen world.
Yeah, a literal interpretation of Genesis, I would argue, Adam and Eve wouldn't have belly buttons.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's neat.
That's where I'm at.
You any thoughts on that, Michael?
I think just disproved my whole entire theory.
What about you, Alicia? What are your thoughts? Anywhere on this rabbit hole we're quickly running down?
No, not about belly buttons.
It doesn't have to be about belly buttons. Yeah. It does not have to be a belly button specific thought.
Ah, yeah. No, I like the idea of like going back to asking questions, mm-hmm. and like, is this something that actually happened? Because I think, like you were saying, like we ask, it's important to ask these questions, like to wrestle with, okay, who am I? What am I doing here? Where am I going? Like those kinds of things, because I don't think we ask that enough. I think we live in like this survival mode. And so the ability to say, okay, why am I here? Like, what does this actually mean? Why is my hair brown? Why are my eyes blue?
Sure.
Like, what does it mean that, you know, my family grew up on a farm? Like,
right.
All of those questions, like, they all matter, I think, is what I'm getting at. Like, there's mm-hmm. meaning in everything. And so to be able to kind of, like, wrestle with that, I guess to shamelessly plug, Jordan Peterson came out with a book that said, the book's titled We Who Wrestle With God.
Right.
I started that. And I just love this idea of, like, it's okay to ask questions and go, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to sit with it.
And it's interesting to chew on in a group.
Right.
In our hyper-politicized, polarized environment, it seems like, I mean, I'm going to use the word heresy out of, like, its literal definition, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden we're all accusing each other of being heretics about things yep. where it's just like, no, wouldn't it be neat to just have this conversation and talk about this thing without yeah. us assuming that the other person is on the other team of whatever variety that is and that yep. they're bad? Mm-hmm. It's really rare to be able to sit down with somebody and have a good, honest, just back and forth kind of conversation that doesn't, and I'm talking about me being the bad guy, where I don't feel like the person disagreeing with me is attacking me as a human being.
Yeah.
Right? And that's lame. We should absolutely be able to do that.
Yeah, it's so true. So at work recently, we've been having a lot of conversations. I work with a bunch of mechanics, and some of them are fallen away Catholics. Some of them are Protestant. Some of them are Muslim, like just a bunch of variety. And so we've had conversations about politics and about religion and about sexuality. And a lot of them come with like these preconceived notions of like, this is what the church teaches. And the things that I'm saying, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not accusing, I'm not saying this is where I think you're wrong. It's more of a, well, if that's true, then this. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something very different about, like, even going back to Thomas Aquinas, like the way that he lays things out, like he has these arguments, but when we're trying to evangelize sometimes, or like have these conversations, sometimes the best approach is evangelization and not necessarily apologetics.
Sure.
Because these people, I say these people, I don't mean that. The people that we're encountering and talking to, they don't necessarily know Christ the way that we mm-hmm. know Christ. And so, and we don't even know Christ the way that Christ truly is. Like, he's constantly revealing himself to us through relationships, situations, etc. And so for us to be able to approach it in that way, I think makes for far more fruitful conversation. And it opens people's minds. Because I've had people look at me and they go, wait, really? That's what the church teaches? And I'm like, yeah, that's what the church teaches.
That's a yeah. super interesting point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to put it in sort of like a secular context, right? If I go up to you and I say, I don't think my mom loves me. And you say, well, actually, let's dig down to what's the definition of love? And what does that actually mean philosophically? And then let me explain about, like, biological impulses and chemicals in the brain. Like, no, that's awful. What, right. I'd much rather you say, oh, your mom definitely loves you. Let's talk about when you were a baby and your mom, like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And if we just overanalyze everything, mm-hmm. right? When, once again, Christ does not come here for us to win arguments. He comes here to love us, and so that we can spend eternity, and so we can love him back and spend eternity with him, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit on some of those misconceptions?
Well, so for example, we had a conversation about homosexuality, and mm-hmm. one of the guys I work with, he came from a very strong religious family, and basically his father told him that, like, gays are terrible, mm. like, just this very, like, he had these preconceived notions. And then when he moved out of state and he started making these friends, he's like, they're no different than you and me.
Right.
And so, like, then his idea of religion just kind of shifted. He's like, well, maybe this isn't true. Maybe yeah. this isn't real. And I'm not saying that I've convinced or converted him,
sure.
whatever. But just to have somebody just kind of look at you when you present, like, no, just because, like, you're, like, your sexual orientation is one way doesn't mean that you're this kind of person.
Right.
Like, you're a person to be loved, not a problem to be mm-hmm. fixed. And I think sometimes when we approach controversial topics, we're like, well, we have to fix this. This is something that we have mm-hmm. to change or whatever. And it's like, no, that never, that doesn't win hearts.
Right.
Like, Christ would, he would always tell people what was wrong, but he would always first, like, I love the gospel of the rich young man, where I think it's in Luke's gospel, where he says Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And, like, that's what we're called to, is this, to actually look at someone, to see them and to love them where they are, and then respond from that place. Because if we respond with just facts, like, nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. Like, if you looked right. at me and you were like, your views on evolution, they suck, I would be right. like, okay, no.
Right, there's an immediate, like, wall.
John Henry, yeah, I don't like you anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna leave this live recording, like, right. whatever. Yeah, it's not how it works. So.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a really, I like, what did you say? It's evangelization, not
Apologetics
all the time.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Father Mike Schmidt, Third Way on YouTube. Watch it right now. It's excellent. It does such a good job of digging into what the church actually teaches on homosexuality, and exactly what you're talking about.
Or anything by Jason Everett. Anything. I love the way that he presents it too.
He does such a good job. He's got one in the Chosen series. I think that was it. That it was a confirmation series I used to teach, and it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He gives this whole talk on his relationship, his friendship with this man who struggles with same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
And it's the most beautiful thing you've ever heard.
Or Eden Invitation.
Invitation? Mm-hmm. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's great. All right. Shifting gears to something less serious, but that you brought up off air. I want you to not straw man, but to steel man.
Oh, boy.
Flat Earth.
Flat Earth
argument.
Wow.
But,
okay.
Julian did not say he was a flat earther off air, by the way, just for the record. But I said, and I mean this, I wish I were cool enough to believe some of those radical conspiracy theories. Like, I really do. I wish that I honestly believed we were all hooked into the Matrix, or that the Earth was flat, or that there were dinosaurs in the center of the Earth, or like, I want to do that. I want to take that leap. Sure. I can't, because that feels like it's nonsensical to me. But, so I want you to try to convince me that the Earth is flat.
Well,
and I'm going to say that's ridiculous.
I'll start with a disclaimer, just as he said, I'm not a flat earther. If you've watched my conversion story.
So when he says he's not, it means he is. Go ahead.
I thought it was the Feast of St. Thomas Aquinas, but that's okay. It can be opposite day.
Opposite day always falls on the Feast of St. Thomas Aquinas.
All right.
Read the liturgical calendar.
Oh, now
I'm sorry. Now I'm too. I'm doing that thing that you just said I shouldn't do. No, you're great. Go ahead.
That's okay. So if you've watched my conversion story, you know that I went through a long period of darkness. And in that time, I went and dove way too deep into the rabbit hole of a lot of conspiracies. And,
yes.
You know, if you go down there, you'll find out, or you'll read that there is this global pedophile network of people that
are lizards
running the world. There's the lizard people conspiracies, of course, and
it's a real thing.
There's the hollow earth theory, and then there's of course the flat earth theory, which and now I've been charged with trying to convince
After this, we're doing the lizard people, but go ahead.
Oh, I can't get it. I don't know. I didn't dive that deep into that one, unfortunately. But maybe I could talk a little bit about
it. Then explain how, when we were off air a second ago, you licked your eyeball.
I had to do that off air, because if I did it on air, then
they'd realize our reptilian overlords are always,
we'd get too many likes, too many subscribes. It would just be YouTube couldn't handle it.
If the lizard people take AM Catholic radio that airs Saturdays at 4 p.m., what have we got left, guys? This is the last bastion against them.
Sure. That's true. I'll give a quick take on lizard people so that we don't have to dive deep into it.
Please do that.
The quick take is that I think it's just a misunderstanding of what evil actually is. So if you think about the fact that the serpent was a snake, or, you know, right there in the, the amphibious scientific area, that basically it's just the sign of evil. So that's, I don't think there's actually lizard people. I think that it's evil appears to be lizard-like or snake-like.
Lame.
It is a lame take, but I think that theory is so ridiculous, as is, I think,
unlike the flat earth theory. Which you believe and are going to go with now. I can't wait.
As devil's advocate, or as you said, steel man, you to convince. So, basically, flat earth says that the earth is a plane, not round. That's why they call it a planet. And that even the UN believes that the earth is flat. And if you look at the map of the UN, it is actually the flat earth map. So then you say, okay, well, if the earth is flat, how?
Oh, the map on the flag. On the flag?
That's right. Yes, that is actually the flat earth map.
It was right in front of us the whole time.
Yep. And so another one of the arguments is that you cannot fly from Australia to South America, even though on a globe it looks like you can. But if you look at a flat earth map, the way that Australia and South America lay, they are about as far apart as one could possibly be. But if you dig into that a little bit, you'll find out that that's not actually true. It's just a very long flight.
Okay.
So the reason that we don't fly from South America to Australia is because there's just not a lot of demand for it. It's not because of a inability. It's just a lack of demand. So it's a very costly flight, and most people are not going.
Explaining why it's wrong and keep telling me why it's right, please.
That's right. We're supposed to go into why it's right. Yes. So the sun, as they say, is not millions of miles away. What do they say? 93 million miles
away. That was the million-dollar question. Who wants to be a millionaire? The first time I watched it, and somebody won.
Okay. Yeah. The first time somebody won?
The first time I watched it.
The first time, okay.
Me and my dad used to watch it.
Yeah, so 93 million miles. So the theory says that it's not 93 million miles, that it's maybe 180 to 300.
Okay, fine. I'll concede that point, but tell me why.
And that the sun actually rotates around the Earth, and that the Earth is the center of the universe.
But how do sunsets work then?
So basically, what if you take a light, then there's demonstrations on YouTube with a flashlight that is very scientific, but I'll try and demonstrate with my hand and this water bottle.
Perfect.
That
yes.
As it goes away, where's the camera? Here it is. As the light goes away, it gets further and further and further, and it appears that it drops below the horizon by the sight.
But I've been through the ocean, and that's obviously not true.
Right. I'm supposed to convince you that. Well, you are being deceived by your own conditioning, because we are socially conditioned from childhood by given a globe, and that it is these overlords, or as some people would say, lizard people, that are trying to convince us that the Earth is round.
No, I'm not
to make
that
us
point yet.
Smaller.
That's that's not how vision works, though. Like, if it were a light and it were moving horizontally, it wouldn't go down. Why does it go down?
Right. So the argument is that it doesn't actually go down, that it is a mirage, and that it appears to go down, even though I'm not supposed to.
This is like when Marvel just decided like wizards were a thing, and I'm sure that happened in the comics. I didn't read the comics, right? I was super cool. But like, you can't just introduce like, oh, it's a mirage. Like, that's, I can do that about anything.
Right. Well,
none of you are real. I'm locked in a memory orb right now.
They probably are not necessarily introducing it. They're calling it a mirage, but they're basing that on ancient belief that the Earth was flat.
You mean those guys who were wrong thousands of years ago?
That's right. So they're not introducing a fact. They are bringing back an old teaching that it appears that it's going down, but it's not actually going down.
Isn't there some connection to like fundamentalist Christianity and the flat Earth theory?
Yes, a direct connection.
Okay, tell me all about that. Please.
Okay.
I'm sorry I'm being demanding. I'm just so into this.
That's
right
okay.
Now.
So since we're into it, yes. Yeah. So it is fundamentalist Christians that say that the Vatican is actually in on convincing us that we are much smaller than we are, that we are not God's chosen people.
Oh, wait, we're doing this.
Right, yes. So this is Catholics that are convincing the people.
The bad guy conspiracy
theory? We are the bad guy. We are the center of it. Well, it's the Pope. It's not Catholics themselves.
Well, maybe we shouldn't air this because they're on to us.
Right, yeah. So,
Gosh. Okay.
We've been caught red-handed.
Why are we doing this?
This is a way to control people.
Making them think the Earth is a different shape.
Right, so we make them think that the Earth is a different shape. We gaslight the people into believing that the Earth is round.
So they'll be Catholic.
Right, and so...
I'm not following.
We're able to look in telescopes and we can see round planets above us, but those are round because they are round. The Earth is flat because we are the center of everything. And to me, I think it's just the theory. It just is a very self-fulfilling prophecy that we are the most important thing that has ever been created, and thus we are the center of the universe.
And that's why the conspiracy theorists say that the Pope is lying about it for this, so that they...
I'm almost there. That dives into the Illuminati, which...
Now we're getting somewhere. What's your take on this so far, Michael?
What questions do you have?
Yeah, do you have any questions about this conspiracy theory?
So let me clarify. So the Pope is the lizard person?
Is he the lizard person?
Is he the lizard person? Is he like the overlord lizard?
Conspiracy theory, which I feel like I have to keep saying just in case somebody's just now tuning in and hearing you ask the question, is the Pope the lizard person?
Because that's where my mind's going right now.
Yeah, these are crazy people who believe this, but I'm into it.
Right, I've heard some say that the Pope is a lizard person, or I've heard some that say the Pope is controlled by the lizard people. So whether he's a lizard person or not,
I don't
know.
Are they saying that the Pope controls the lizard people? Because that would be cooler. I like the ones where we're like the masterminds behind it.
Yeah. Right. Yes. I don't. We can start that right now. Okay, so the Pope is actually controlling the lizard people.
Clip this and send it to your fundamentalist friends.
That's right. Yes. So the Vatican and Washington D.C. and the City of London are all charged with controlling the Earth. The Vatican is in charge of religion. City of London is in charge of money, and Washington D.C. is in charge of the military or governing. And so that is the theory. So they came up with this rounder theory to tell everybody that, no, you are small, we are in charge, and you are nothing.
We have got to do a Catholic conspiracy theory episode.
Please.
Have
you guys ever read? I'm so confused right now. Yeah. I'm so confused.
I feel like you're only confused, though, because it doesn't make any sense. I feel like that's the root of your confusion.
Yes, and some of the stuff I've not heard. The flat earth stuff, yes. The lizard people thing?
Oh, girl.
Very new.
You gotta get on the lizard people.
I am very naive.
You know the lizard people stuff?
I've heard about it.
No.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, I mean, he's kind of proof.
I watched this whole thing about how Mark Zuckerberg was a lizard person on YouTube one time. It was super interesting.
Yeah. You heard about the conspiracy about that pastor in, like, Kentucky who's actually Elvis Presley?
No.
The guys at work introduced me to this.
Cool.
I don't even know his name, but, like, his mannerisms and, like, the way that, like, he walks and the moves his hands, it's, like, uh-huh. It's eerily similar.
Did you guys ever, are you familiar with Chick Tracks?
No.
Okay, so there's a guy named Jack Chick. Do you know Chick Tracks?
Nope.
Have you ever gotten an anti-Catholic pamphlet under your windshield while you're at Mass?
Nope.
I have once. And anyway, I went and I Googled the website on the back, and it's a guy named Jack Chick. He might be dead now. He's older. But he spent his life making comics about Christianity, real, like, faith alone, sola scriptura, but, like, leaning hard into all the conspiracy stuff. And he's got so many great ones about the Catholic Church being, and by great, I mean they're terrible, but they're funny and interesting to read them. You can find them all online about the Catholic Church being, like, the Whore of Babylon is this big conspiracy theory by sun worshipers from ancient Egypt who are now the modern Catholic Church. He's got great ones about how the Jesuits are actually, like, this undercover, like, covert operation trying to, like, force convert all the people to Catholicism and the wild stuff. And it's so entertaining to go through and read them.
Yeah. I actually think that the ancient Egyptian sun-worshipping Whore of Babylon actually furthers our point, because it just tells me that they were aware that this may have been the truth, but they were wrong because it hadn't happened yet. So they had kind of tapped into, which gets into the circular theory of time, which we don't even have time for that
one. So now we're getting into time travel. So you believe time travel exists?
Not necessarily time travel, but that time for us is completely linear. But there are theories out there that says that we, if we are very, I don't know, spiritually aware, that we can kind of experience things. Like, if somebody tries to call you and you're like, oh, I want to talk to that person, then all of a sudden they call you, that's a bend, not necessarily bending time, but that's kind of tapping into the circular theory of time. Mm-hmm. So
from now on, honest to God, all we're doing is talking about ridiculous theories. This is super interesting.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you're from the future. You're actually a lizard person, yes. And you're trying to control us.
That's all the time we have for you right now.
I really do think we should do one of those. We should do a show that just gets into, like, the Catholic-specific conspiracy theories. I mean, it's almost a backhanded compliment, the fact that we as Catholics are like, thrown in there. Maybe not to the level of the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, but we're the bad guys in a lot of made-up nonsense theories throughout the ages, and it's really neat. I think that's interesting and kind of a compliment.
We're the ones fighting slavery and abortion and all of the other things because we're the bad guys. Yeah,
building
yeah.
hospitals, helping the poor.
Right. Yeah.
Modern
things
universities.
That us bad guys like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about what's actually happening in Hollywood with P. Diddy and Jay-Z and all them. We are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So we've got about 2 minutes before we're done. Any last-minute thoughts on anything? I've had a lot of fun digging into some of this stuff. I do think it's super interesting, and it probably says a whole lot about the human psyche and concupiscence and whatnot, but I do think it's super interesting.
I was going to say, on the topic of conspiracy theories, my favorite right now is that the Antichrist is Donald Trump or Elon Musk. I've seen a lot of stuff recently talking about both of them.
Every, like, half a generation, somebody new gets to be the Antichrist in a lot of people's minds.
There's always some new conspiracy.
I think all of that and all the end time stuff, right, boils down to really a lack of, I don't know, maybe a self-centeredness would be a better word, right? Jesus Christ himself literally says you will not know the day nor the hour, right? And we're freaking out constantly. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, worry about the stuff that actually matters. That's a good way to put a pin in all of this stuff, right? You know what you can't control? Whether or not the earth is flat and it's a lie sold to you by lizard people that you live on a globe, right? You can't control that. What you can control is your spiritual life, your children, your spouse, your vocation, your parish life, your striving towards virtue. Mm-hmm. And that's way more important than all of that. And I think people desperately want to have this hidden truth when being a good person, clawing your way towards salvation, is what it's really all about.
Exactly. Yeah. Just worry about your own faith and your family, and you're going to be all right.
Take care of your people.
Doesn't matter
what
the lizards are doing in the background.
Even if the lizards really are out there.
Because you're not going to find out about them anyway. They can morph.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, guys. You got any closing thoughts in the last 30 seconds here, Julian?
Yeah, comment down below and get into the discussion. We'll join you in the comments as
please.
Well.
Please. Yeah.
Your own crazy conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
we can debunk
in
the next episode.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please. Please do that. And let's brainstorm a list of conspiracy theories to dig into in some future episode if
we don't get canceled.
So if the words don't cancel it.
All right, guys, this was so much fun. Michael, show notes, Benny, keep on existing or whatever you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.